og Bhagavat He Vasudevaya. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 56. Chapter 14 is entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation. So please repeat after me. Tvam tata narasi chamam kripa namanatam. Tyaktum vichakswa pitaram tavas shukam taptam. Anjastarema bhavata praja dustaram yat. Dvantam nayahi akarunane yamena duram. Translation and prepared by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear son, I am helpless and very much aggrieved. You should not give up my company. Just look at your lamenting father. We are helpless because without a son, we shall have to suffer the distress of going to the darkest hellish regions. You are the only hope by which we can get out of these dark regions. Therefore, I request you not to go any further with the merciless Yamaraj. Purport. According to the Vedic injunctions, one must accept a wife just to beget a son who can deliver one from the clutches of Yamaraj. Unless one has a son to offer oblations to the Pitas or forefathers, one must suffer in Yamaraj's kingdom. King Chitraketu was very much aggrieved, thinking that because his son was going away with Yamaraj, he himself would again suffer. The subtle laws exist for the karmis. If one becomes a devotee, he has no more obligations to the laws of karma. There are three or four verses that ends the chapter, and they have no purport. So I think I'll just read through them so that we end the chapter. So the text 57 says, Otista tatate ima vish sishavo vayasyas tvam ahanyanti nirpa nandana samvihatum suptas chirami astanayas cha bhavam parito bukshwas tanam pipa sucho harana swakanam. Translation, my dear son, you have slept a long time. Now please get up. Your playmates are calling you to play. Since you must be very hungry, please get up and suck my breast and dissipate our lamentation. Then this is the queen speaking.
Naham tanuja dardrase hata mangalate mughas simitam muditar vikshanam ananjam kim vagatosi apuna avayam anyalokam nito grinenana shirunami kalagraste.
Translation. My dear son, I am certainly most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude that you have been taken from this planet to another, from which you will not return. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice. 59. Sri Suka Uvacha. Vilampatya mritam putram iti chitra vilampanai. Chitraketu brisham tato mukta kanto rurudaha. Translation. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. Text 60.
Tayor vilapato sarve dampatyos tat anuvrataha rurudhu smam naran narya sarvam asit achitanam.
Translation. As the king and queen lamented, all their male and female followers joined them in crying. Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious. 61, the last verse.
Ivam kasmalam apanam nastasam gyanam anayakam gyantvam gira namarishir ajagama sanaradaha.
When the great sage Anjira understood that the king was almost dead in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narad Rishi. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation. Krishna. So, these are the statements of King Chitraketu, because his son has passed away. So he is lamenting so much because his only son has passed away. Material existence means lamentation, because something is always lacking, isn't it? Material existence means lamentation, because something is always lacking. Here is King Chitraketu, a very great king of the world. He had everything that would make life enjoyable, but something was lacking. And so he was so much lamenting to have a son. And by the mercy of the great sage Anjira Muni, he got a son. But again, he's lamenting, because he was thinking, if I got a son, everything will be all right. That's how he was thinking. But he got a son. Is everything all right? No. Again, he's lamenting, because he has lost a son. So, material existence means something is always lacking. And something will always lack. No matter how we nicely arrange things, and no matter what we have in terms of wealth, resources, something will always lack. So here is this great king with so many queens, so much facility, but he's lamenting, shouting, crying, shedding tears, because that is the nature of the material world. Du kalayam ashaswatam. Krishna has told us in Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, Du kalayam, that this material creation, Krishna created this material world. Of course, not directly, but he gave the intelligence to Brahma to create. Without Krishna giving Brahma intelligence, Brahma has no facility to create the material world. So indirectly, Krishna created the material world. He created everything. And he is telling us in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is a place which is full of lamentation, is full of misery. And on top of that, it is also temporary. So, King Chitraketu's lamentation, his grief, it epitomized this statement of Lord Krishna. Originally, we all come from the kingdom of God. That is our permanent home. The scriptures describe the abode of the Lord as such an under dam. Such an under my your dam. A place where there is Sanmaya, where there is Chidmaya, and where there is Anandamaya. Sanmaya means eternally existing. Chidmaya means full of transcendental knowledge. Anandamaya means full of unlimited happiness. That is the nature of where we actually belong. The spiritual sky, Krishna's own abode. That is where we belong. That is our permanent home. That is our original home. But somehow, we have found ourselves here, in this terrible, terrible material world, where there is always lamentation. In fact, in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's words, he says this material world is a place of tears. Why? Because due to lamentation, due to grieving, intense grieving, people shed tears. And especially when we lose a relative, when we lose a dear one, we shed a lot of tears. Many years ago, there was one devotee who was very attached to his parents. Every now and then he would ask permission to go and see his parents. Every now and then he would ask permission to go and see his parents. So one day, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami of blessed memory gave a class, and the class was Material Relationships, the Greatest Maya for a Devotee. He specifically gave that class for that devotee. Of course, for all of us. But it was meant to enlighten that devotee, because every now and then he will come, Prabhu, I want to go and see my parents. Every night, Prabhu, I want to go and see my parents. I hope that is not happening here. Parents are coming. Very good. That's very good. So he said that because we have taken birth from a particular family, because we have taken birth from the womb of a particular woman, because a particular man has given a seed to a particular woman, and he has carried us in a womb for several months before we came out, there is natural attachment. You can't avoid it. There is natural attachment. This is my mom. This is my dad. This is my brother. This is my sister. Because we all come from the same womb. So Gurudev said that is the greatest maya for a devotee. If you begin to identify with people you have the same common source, material source with, if you begin to identify with your material relations, at the cost of your spiritual life, at the cost of Krishna consciousness, then that is the greatest maya. Of course, that devotee, he tried to minimize, after hearing that lecture, he tried to minimize his visit to the parents. But the desire was still there. Later on, he was sent to the U.S. to do Sankirtan to support book purchases.
And he blooped. He left. Because of the great attachment he has for his parents, he felt, now I'm in the U.S. Let me find some job. Let me get some money so that I can support my parents. And what happened to him? He wanted to make fast money, got involved in drug business, and he was shot. He got involved in drug business because that brings fast money. If he has to work in the office to earn a monthly salary, and he has to depend on that and save something for his parents, it would take a long time. So he felt, let me do fast business so that I can send a lot of money to my parents. He was very attached to the parents, to the brothers and sisters. So he got involved in some drug business, and the mafia, he tried to be very smart. And drug business is handled by mafias. And if you try to be smart, they eliminate you. So he was shot dead and put inside his car. They have a place they go for their drug meetings up a hill. So the group decided that today this guy should be eliminated. So he had bought a brand new car. He drove to the meeting, and that was the end of his life. They shot him, put him back into his car, and locked the car and left him there. When the police were patrolling, they saw a car sitting there for hours, and then they went to find out, and there was a dead body. And because he went through Krishna consciousness, he went on the ticket of Krishna consciousness. When they pick up the dead body, they have to trace his source of entering America. And so they call the temple. Your devotee is dead here. Come pick him up. So we were called in Ghana and were informed that this devotee has been shot and he's gone. Anyway, whatever devotional service he has performed, I'm sure Krishna would facilitate that. So whatever we are attached to in this material world will give us the greatest pain. Whatever we are attached to, whatever intense desire, material desire that we have, that will give us the greatest pain. So, there is a story. Should I tell a story? There is a story that one Brahmana wanted some money. He wanted some 2 gold coins to settle his house affairs. He wanted it so badly. He tried everywhere. He couldn't get it. He went to his friend and said, my dear friend, please, can you just borrow me 2 gold coins? I need it very badly. And the friend said, I don't have also. Normally, Brahmanas are very poor. Not that they are poor. Materially, they are poor. But spiritually, they are very rich. So, I don't have any money. But let me give you the secret. If you want, the king, every day, he gives 2 gold coins to the first and the second Brahmanas who visits him. So, tomorrow morning, you can go very early and be there first. And once you are there first, you will get your 2 gold coins without a problem. So the Brahmana said, oh, wonderful. If I can just get to the king's palace very early in the morning, and I can get my 2 gold coins to satisfy my desire, then wonderful. Better I go tonight. If I go tomorrow morning, maybe somebody else may be earlier than me. So I should go there tonight and sleep there, so that everybody else coming will be behind me. So this Brahmana went. And then he was loitering around the palace at night. looking for a place to sleep. And the security, palaces are always guided by security. They saw this man moving up and down for some time, late into the night. So they started thinking, this must be a spy. Otherwise, why is he loitering around at this hour? Everyone is supposed to be sleeping. But what is he doing here? He must be a spy or some other enemy of the king. So let us arrest him. So immediately, the Brahmana was arrested and put inside jail, in prison. He wanted 2 gold coins, and he ended up in prison. So he was there for some time. They forgot him there. And then one day, one of the securities went to the prison and saw this guy they put there. He said, he remembered, sometime we put this man here. We should inform the king that we have arrested some spy and we put him in jail. So they went to the king and informed him, "Dear Maharaj, some few days back, we saw somebody loitering around the palace gate in the night, very late at night, and we arrested him. He has been in jail for all this time." And the king said, "All right, bring him here. Let me see what he's up to." So they went and brought this Brahmana to the king. And the king asked him, "My dear Brahmana, what were you doing outside my palace at that odd hour? So much so that everybody went to sleep and you were still loitering around there and they had to put you into jail." And he said, "My dear king, I needed just 2 gold coins to settle some family matter. I just needed 2 gold coins to fulfill some desire. I just needed 2 gold coins to take care of some need. And I got a wind. I got information that if I come to your palace first in the morning, I will get these 2 gold coins. And I thought to myself that if I come in the morning, maybe some others may come earlier than me. So I decided that I will come at night and stay all night at the gate to make sure that I am the first person at the gate. That is why I was found loitering around your palace." The king said, "All right. If that is what you came for, they should release him. Now he should go and decide. Any amount of money he wants, he's ready to give him. He should go and decide." The Brahmana left the palace and went home and told his wife that I had a misfortune. I was arrested and put in jail for 2-3 days. But now the misfortune has turned into a great fortune. The king has asked me that whatever I want, he will give me. So what do you think? Should I still ask for the 2 gold coins or I should ask for more?" And naturally, women are more they are more inclined to sense gratification. They want more money, more facilities. They say, "Wow, the king said you can ask for any amount. Why ask for only 2 gold coins? You can ask for 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 if possible." So the Brahmana thought. He started thinking, "I wanted 2 gold coins, and I ended up in prison." "Now, if I ask for 10 gold coins, it could lead me somewhere else. What of if I ask for 100 gold coins and 1,000 gold coins? I could meet my death. So better, I don't ask for anything." So the king waited and waited. The Brahmana was not coming with his request. So the king sent for the Brahmana. Then asked the Brahmana, "My dear Brahmana, you came here and you were arrested for 2 gold coins. And now I've asked you, go and decide how much gold coins you want. And I'll just give it to you. Why are you not coming?" He said, "My dear king, I've had a realization. I needed only 2 gold coins, and because of that, I had to sleep in jail for 3 days. So, if I ask for 10 gold coins, it means I should multiply that suffering by 10 times. So I have decided that I don't need any gold coins anymore. So this is a very nice realization of the Brahmana, that whatever desire we have, will lead us into trouble. Whatever we are lamenting seriously for, whatever material lamentation we have, intense desire we have, will lead us into trouble. So, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport that, of course, King Chitrakidu was lamenting that he needed a son to deliver him from hell. Actually, the meaning of son, putra means to deliver from hell. King Chitrakidu, his main aim, of course, he has another reason. In everything we do, we have a good reason and a real reason. The good reason he was giving here, but actually his real reason was he wanted a son to inherit the kingdom. That was his real reason. But now, when the son is dead, he's saying that he needed a son to deliver him from hell. That's why he's telling the dead son, that if you leave us, then we will have to go into hell. And the purpose, Srila Prabhupada mentions, that one must accept a wife to beget a son who can deliver one from the clutches of Yamaraj. Unless one has a son to offer oblations to the Pitas or forefathers, one must suffer in Yamaraj's kingdom. So, this is very important. It is important to have a son. But what type of son should we have? That King Chitrakidu has not thought about. If you have a devotee son, then he will not only deliver you from hell, but he will deliver you from material existence. Just like Prahlad Maharaj did. If you have a son who is a devotee, then he delivers the whole family. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, 100 generations back and forth are delivered from this material existence. That is amazing. Just by one person becoming a pure devotee of the Lord, 100 generations before and after are delivered from material existence. It's amazing. King Chitrakidu did not think like this. He was just thinking that my son should deliver me from hell. But actually, the purpose of begetting children is to make them devotees of the Lord so that they can deliver the family, deliver the whole family line from material existence, not only from hell. One may be delivered from hell in this lifetime, and one may go to heaven in the next lifetime, but again, due to material desires, one will fall back into hell. No situation is permanent in this material world. Today, we are here. Tomorrow, we are somewhere else. Today, we are in heaven. Tomorrow, we find ourselves in hell. So no material situation is permanent. So even to be delivered from hell is not the best thing. To be delivered from material existence, that is the best thing.
So even a great acharya like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, who is a nice tiki brahmachari, whole life, no idea of sex life, he said that if I can beget 100 children and make them Krishna conscious children, I will engage in sex life very often. Because children becoming Krishna conscious, they will deliver the whole world. See the effect of one great devotee, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, one person, he went to America alone without any help. But look at today, what is happening, especially in Chupati. One Srila Prabhupada, now so many devotees, and that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So that is the benefit of a devotee's son. He can deliver the whole world. And Srila Prabhupada mentions also that that the subtle laws exist for the karmis. If one becomes a devotee, he has no more obligations to the laws of karma. This is also very important. For non-devotees, the subtle laws of karma are very strict. They are very, very strict. You can escape. But for devotees, these subtle laws exist no more. And to that effect, there is a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, which says that if one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligations, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, he owes neither duties or obligations to the demigods, to the sages, to general living entities, to families, family members, human society, or forefathers. This is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Verse 41. That anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligations, and if he has taken to the path in all seriousness, this is very important also, in all seriousness, if you take the Krishna consciousness very seriously, then you owe no duty or no obligation to the demigods, to the sages, to general living entities, to humanity, to family members, or to forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by the performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is why we should take devotional service very seriously. There was a blind man who used to beg around from place to place trying to get some little food for his stomach. And sometimes he doesn't get. That is the nature of begging.
Once you are a beggar, sometimes you will get, and sometimes you may not get. So one day, this blind man was passing by a temple. He went to beg by a temple. And then the landlord told him that, "My dear blind man, behind you is a temple where the Lord is. Actually, we are all begging from the Supreme Personality of Godhead." That is true. Everybody is begging from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is supplying all the things we need. Without Krishna's supply, there won't be life. So he said, "Go into the temple and ask God directly. Why are you going around to people? They don't have enough. If you go to God and ask him directly, he can give you enough." So the blind man was excited. "Oh, if there's a temple nearby here, and I can go inside, and I can ask the Lord directly, and I can get all that I need, then what is the use of going around? Let me just go into the temple." He said, "Please, direct me to the temple." So this gentleman directed the blind man into the temple. And when he entered the temple, there was discourse going on. There was satsang going on. There was class going on. And so he had to sit down and listen to the class. So in the class, the speaker said that whatever we need, the same statement was repeated. Whatever we need, we can ask the Supreme Lord. We don't need to ask demigods. We don't need to ask anybody for anything. We just ask the Supreme Lord for it, and he will give us. He is maintaining us automatically. The Lord is maintaining everyone automatically. So if a devotee asks the Lord, he will get. But higher than that, if you just render service to the Lord, if you just glorify the Lord, you will enter an intimate relationship with the Lord, and you will be the happiest person ever. So the blind man heard this. He said, "Oh, there is something more than getting something from the Lord. If I can take that advice I'm just hearing, and I can become intimate with the Lord, and I can become very happy in the association of the Lord, then I think that's the best thing. Instead of begging and begging and begging." So after the class, he approached the speaker, and the speaker told him that the best way to approach the Lord is to sing his glories. The best way to approach the Lord is to hear his glories. So if you just hear his glories and just sing his glories every day, very intensely, very seriously, very soon the Lord will reveal himself. So a blind man, he has nowhere to go. A blind man, he has nothing to see. A blind man, he was very absorbed in that instruction. He took the instruction very seriously, and within a few days, he had vision of the Lord. And his life changed. He was very ecstatic. He was very happy. He was always dancing all the time, very joyful. So one day, the same person who directed him to the temple saw this blind man singing and dancing in ecstasy. So he went to him and said, "Oh, my dear friend, I directed you here. Why are you so ecstatic dancing and singing like this?" He said, "Yes, thank you very much. I've had a better instruction from the residents here, and I have practiced it very seriously. And now I can see my Lord. And the happiness that I'm realizing is so great. That is why I'm singing and dancing the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So actually we are all blind. Material existence, we are all blind. Going here and going there. And we are all begging. Even though we may have some material qualifications, but still we have to beg to get a job. There are more qualified people today than there are jobs. And so you practically have to beg your employer to employ you. So many applications are there, they only need 5 people. So we are all begging. But somehow or the other, if somehow we have been directed into the temple, into the Lord's place of worship, and somehow or the other we get some nice instruction from the saintly devotees, we should take it very seriously. If we take to this Krishna consciousness very seriously, our lives shall be perfect, and we shall be free from all lamentation. So, this is the little I can offer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srisri Radha Gopinath ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.